Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Colts and Dallas Cowboys taking a lot of oxygen at the trade deadline, Pro, but how about the Seattle Seahawks, who also made a big addition? Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, adding to that wide receiver room, and Rashid Shaheed, fantastic, to pair with Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Pearl. And, you know, it's funny because we talk about the Colts, and the one thing that holds me back from thinking the Colts are a true Super Bowl contender is Daniel Jones. And I feel like I'm having a similar thought about Seattle and Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
Sam Darnold has shown that he can be phenomenal in the regular season. When he's got the right weapons and offensive line and coach, and when these things are right, Sam Darnold looks like the number three overall pick in the draft when he was coming out of USC. But then the end of the season happens, or the playoffs happen, and all of a sudden Sam Darnold is throwing passes into the ground, into the first row, and can't hit the ocean from the beach. And that's the one part of me that I can't get myself there with Seattle, because I love the team, I love the defense, and now they have weapons, even more weapons, but I can't envision Sam Darnold hoisting a Lombardi trophy.
Yeah, I don't view him as the same way as Daniel Jones, because we've already seen more success from Sam Darnold. Daniel Jones is in game 9 of this experiment in Indy, and it's going to go well, in part because they're indoors. But Sam Darnold against Washington last week on primetime TV.
He looked great.
He looked great. It wasn't just, the dude is, he's not old. He's 28. He's got wheels. He always, It reminded me of Sam Darnold at USC. Guy can run. It was his processing. They had a close up on his face. You could see him, and the announcers were talking about this. He could get read one, read two, read three. He is now processing at elite level. If you pressure Sam Darnold, that's a question. You know, you are saying he was terrible in those last two games against Detroit. The pressure was on.
And then the Rams, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. It was the second. Right. Yeah. They lost to Detroit in week 18, and then the Rams. But that Vikings offensive line has been a problem. So if the Seahawks can protect, then they're dangerous. It does seem like the marriage of coach and quarterback, and now with Rashid Shaheed, who was also a Clint Kubiak guy, the offensive coordinator, that just seems like, wow, this is a lot going on here. Feels, I will dare say, San Francisco-ish, like McCaffrey, Debo, like a lot of weapons coming at you. Jaxon Smith-Njigba, and I love the running backs, love Kenneth Walker, love Zach Charbonnet. I just like everything going on here. Maybe it's the vintage uniforms. There's another thing. There's just a quality about this team. They're likable. They're very, it's like, oh, cool. The Seahawks are good again. This feels good for the NFL. Maybe I'm going vintage with this, but there's just an energy there that is really fun.
Well, I guess maybe this is what it comes down to. I still think the Rams are the class of the NFC West, right? I think
the Rams are good. That's a problem.
Right. That's a problem. But San Francisco does seem gettable. And it's because they have so many injuries along the defense, and obviously the quarterback situation. Although I did see Brock Purdy is increasing his workload in practice this week, I saw.
Wait. And you said the quarterback situation was getting... So you're saying they're going to take a step back because Brock's coming back?
No, I'm just saying it's been... I don't know if it matters, but both guys are hurt. You know, Mac Jones is playing not at 100%, and he's still out there because Purdy's more hurt. And I just wonder with
Mac
San Francisco.
Jones,
no, he's been fine. It's just that.
Fine. He hit 16 passes in a row the other day. He's been outstanding.
Yeah. And who are they playing? Like, this is the thing. The San Francisco schedule has been so easy, it has kept him in this thing. And to me, it's not about whether Mac Jones or Brock Purdy, like, who's better than the other. Although I still think Brock is actually a little bit better than Mac Jones. It's about, are either of these guys going to be healthy enough to actually make it through the finish line? I feel like San Francisco, when the injuries hit, they just hit huge, and both guys are already kind of playing banged up. But anyway, this creates a really nice lane here for Seattle. And, you know, because I think San Francisco, you know, is not what the record says. And I think against the better competition, it's going to be really hard for them.
But I don't think that's their competition. I think their competition is the Rams, the Eagles, the Packers, the Lions. Like, they're not thinking
about
the division. Yeah, they're thinking about the conference. Don't you think that that's what the discussion they see themselves in?
So if you want to go to Vegas, let's hit up the old DraftKings. The conference winner, Rams lead it right now, Pearl, plus 400. Then your Philadelphia Eagles at plus 425. Lions right behind them, plus 475. Packers plus 500. Then the Seahawks at plus 550. Then a bit of a cliff where the Tampa Bay Bucks now plus 850. So obviously Vegas does see Seattle as a, like, in that group,
yeah,
in that elite NFC group, but the fifth of those, like the lowest tier, the lower of the upper tier.
Absolutely. I totally get that. But
does
not
that scream contender to you?
Yeah. I mean, you just, those odds are pretty tight. I guess it depends where they play. No, am I going to pick them to win the division? I mean, the conference? No. But do I think right now they can play with anybody? Listen, Mike McDonald, I mean, he's got that defense looking really, really salty. And he wants to run Raven style or Michigan style and win with defense. If you get that, really helps Sam Darnold. That's why I think Sam Darnold's not going to turn into a pumpkin as much this time. I think that the way they play will protect him. That might not be a pro Sam Darnold take. I just think Seattle has a lot of things figured out right now.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. I know we're on in Seattle. I'm curious how much the Seattle fan base is really buying in. Like, is there any part of you that is a little bit in the back of your head like, oh no, we're at some point going to rely on Sam Darnold to have to win us a really big game? Can he do that?
I think if I'm in Seattle right now, I think I'm all in on this team because they don't know the bad. There hasn't been that much bad Sam Darnold, like this evidence. How many times he's either been terrible with the Jets and nothing with the Panthers, back up in San Francisco, and he had one letdown late in the season. When has Sam Darnold failed in the playoffs? He's never been to the playoffs except once.
No, I get it, but you might feel a little bit like, all right, you kind of just did this with Geno Smith. And obviously Geno was a revelation because you're moving on from Russell Wilson, yep, and you were just like, you know, we've seen this before with certain franchises. You move on from the guy at quarterback, and sometimes it takes 10 years to find the next guy. Sometimes it takes 20. Look at the Miami Dolphins. They're still trying to find the next Dan Marino. It can take a really long time. And I think it was like Geno stepped in and was able to take the torch so seamlessly, yet there's a ceiling.
Yeah.
And there was always going to be a ceiling with Geno. So you could make the playoffs, but then you can't beat San Francisco in the playoffs. You know, you can make the playoffs or you can have a 10-win season, but you're not actually a contender. I wonder if it feels kind of similar with Seattle right now. It's like, all right, there's no drop-off. You're probably happy now that you don't have Geno anymore because it's not going well in Las Vegas for him. You have Darnold, but do you always feel like there's this ceiling that you're never going to be able to break through?
You know, I have a feeling that you got to talk about coaching in this, though, because the ceiling might have been late career Pete Carroll, where Mike McDonald, there's a chance, nobody talks about him. He's so generic looking, the Seahawks coach. I think he might be an elite coach. I think that might be the difference. And obviously, Clint Kubiak has been awesome there. And Clint Kubiak, you look back at what he did in New Orleans, and now you see where New Orleans is now. Like, whoa, we might have missed with that guy. It does feel like there could be a team thing going on here that's supporting Darnold. I mean, maybe that's a criticism of Darnold, but it does feel like Darnold's going to get a lot of help in Seattle right now. There's a lot of talented players throughout that roster.
You're basically describing last year's Minnesota Vikings, and they decided to move on from him. Now,
the Vikings had injuries on the O-line. Like, the Vikings fell apart around Darnold. I said that many times. It was not just Darnold.
And I've seen that happen in Seattle pretty recently.
But it might not.
That's fine. But I feel like you're describing exactly what we said about Minnesota. Like, he's got the weapons. He got this, that.
No, but Mike McDonald's a defensive coach.
Well, they have Brian Flores in Minnesota. He's a very high-regarded defensive coordinator.
Yeah, but there is this. McDonald comes from the Harbaugh, the John and Jim Harbaugh clan that was having a moment when, you know, Michigan won the title with this formula. Baltimore is always dangerous. I don't know. I find them very different than the Geno. It's a good comparison to Geno Smith getting hot in Seattle. This team feels like a different team. I'm not saying Sam Darnold is the next Patrick Mahomes, but it just feels like everything is clicking there. I think that they could be a dangerous out in the playoffs, but there's so many elite teams right now. I mean, they're going to have to battle with Philly. The Rams are awesome. The Packers, I think, are still good. The Lions, there's going to be, you know, that's a thing. They did a move. I'm glad they didn't go all in and give up a bunch of first rounders because I'm not sure they're there yet. You know, they, I guess they could have, but this is a fun team. And the vintage uniforms, come on, Meg. You got to root for them with me.
Yeah, I mean, it looked good against the Commanders. But the Commanders, their defense is terrible. And, you know, Jaden Daniels ends up getting hurt at the end of the game. Yeah. That was a weird game.
Remember that Bucs game that they lost? That was a great game.
That was an insane game. They still have to play the Rams twice. Have to play San Francisco at San Francisco. Yeah. Got to play Minnesota. Got to play the Colts.
Well, you never know with the. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a lot of good teams on there. So maybe it does come down a little bit. But you never know what Rams team is going to come out on a Sunday. You have no idea.
Let's go to Ramon. He's in Indianapolis. Razor Ramon, what's up, sir?
Hey, how you doing? My favorite morning show, and thank you, my call. Those trepidations about Daniel Jones, we're having them too. That last game was. Hopefully it was an anomaly, but you know, once you get in towards the playoffs, you play better teams, player defenses, and Pittsburgh seemed to have something there. Sam Darnold. You know, somebody's got to be the Trent Dilfer and the Brad Johnsons of this era. So maybe he'll be one of those.
I know, but these guys were high picks.
Yeah, go ahead, Dallas.
Brad Johnson, his wildest dreams, never had a season like Sam Darnold's having right now, Ramon.
Yeah, but he's holding the ring in his finger. We got ring culture and stuff like that. That's true. Seems to be all that judge. Dan Marino was one of my favorites. He beat my Chicago team. I'm a Chicago guy from the Chicago area. He beat the Bears with that quick release, and we don't even talk about Dan Marino. And some reports from some former players say Dan Marino was better than John Elway. So, you know, I'll just leave that there. But Dallas hasn't been to the Super Bowl or NFC Championship game more than Arizona since 1995. Remember, Arizona went to the Super Bowl with Kurt Warner.
Yeah.
And they went to the NFC Championship game with Carson Palmer.
Yep.
There is a joke. This is not going anywhere. It's the culture there. They are not like the Dodgers. The Dodgers went through and reorganized, got things together the last 10, 12, 15 years. The Dodgers have been a consistent franchise. They go out and do what they have to do. There's no way in the world people can criticize Michael Parsons all you want to. Talent, you do not let go of talent. It's hard to get talent. Somebody was on Sports Radio yesterday and said, if you're going to give me a proven talent at 26, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, you give me a proven talent, all-pro, over draft picks, I'm taking a proven all-pro all day long.
Now, oh, Ramon, I'm so with you. I'm so with you. I love it because, thank you for the call. Great to talk with you. I think this is almost a little bit like Pearl. Remember you and I had a very memorable interview once with Bruce Pearl, right, before he retired.
Yes.
And we were talking about the transfer portal. This is an Auburn basketball coach, obviously. And he goes, why would I get guys out of high school? Yep. When I can now, with the transfer portal, get someone, and this is Bruce Pearl's quote, who's got some hair on his ass and already has gained the 10 pounds of muscle, and then I can just poach him from someone else's roster. And I kind of feel a little bit like that with some of the moves that were made at the trade deadline. You have these draft picks, but who knows, right? I think the Cowboys, and this is why I gave the trade an A and you gave it an F, but you have someone who's already panned out. Who still is in their prime, in my opinion. And you don't have to worry about whether this person is going to be a bust, because look at the guy they traded back to the Jets in Mazi Smith. He was a first-round pick out of Michigan. I don't know if he's on the championship team. He might have been the year before that. But anyway, pedigree, all the skill set in the world, couldn't do it.
He was 27th pick, but
okay, but still first-round
pick. But the odds fall dramatically in the latter part of the first round. But I know what you're saying.
Okay, so like I'd rather, if I'm in a win now mode, and even if it's not for this year for the Cowboys, let's say next year or the year after, I kind of want someone who I know can handle being a pro, can handle double teams, you know, has gone through a little bit without having like major injuries and stuff.
Yeah, I just think I look at it more from a salary cap standpoint. There's young and cheap, and there's old and expensive. And the good teams, you know, why do the Eagles always have cap space? Because they seem to find a balance between that. Now it feels like the Cowboys are old and expensive, and they don't have the W's to show for it.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We're asking a couple questions today. One on the Dallas side, what would you consider a successful season for them this year after the big Quinn and Williams trade? Also, are you believing in Seattle and Indy as both Super Bowl contenders? With the now rejuvenated quarterbacks, I guess. Sam Darnold, Daniel Jones. Okay, coming up, last night was weird. Victor Wembanyama. Interesting game. We'll get into the loss, Wemby's loss to the Lakers, and the Lakers' defense and what they did to Wemby to make him probably the most uncomfortable I've seen him this season, which is, you know, we're still early on. And we've got some more baseball for you as well. But in the meantime.
Okay. Last night, Maggie, I went deep on Prize Picks. I wasn't just looking at analytics or stats. I was thinking about something I like to call vengeance. Julius Randle, the Minnesota Timberwolves, against his former team, the Knicks. I'm like, he is going to have a lot of points tonight. And I was right. And I picked more on Julius Randle's stat projection. And that's how you win big on Prize Picks. All you do is you just pick two or more players across any sport, pick more or less on their projections. And if you're right, you could win big. And right now, you get $50 bonus credit instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. I was so happy, even though the T-Wolves lost big. Didn't matter to me.
No, you got your big W. How about looking at tonight? Can I give you a little Cortland Sutton, okay? More than 58.5 receiving yards.
He better get that because you can see how miserable he is with not getting enough targets, but go ahead.
I feel like he's got it in the bag against the Raiders. And then, do you know there's college football tonight? Did you know that
there's always college football?
USF is playing UTSA? I'm all over it.
Well, those are the hot mid-majors. Those teams are always spicy.
Byron Brown, running back, USF, 75.5 rush yards. Let's go more than, and let's make it a night all about football. And we're all about Prize Picks here. It's our obsession on the show, and it can be for you as well. So simple. Just download the Prize Picks app today. Use the code MNP. Get $50 bonus credit instantly in lineups when you play $5. That's code MNP on Prize Picks. Get $50 bonus credit instantly in lineups when you play $5. So win or lose, you get $50 bonus credit in lineups just for playing. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, it is good to be right. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Mand P.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. You know, 6 months ago, we never would have predicted that some of the topics on today's show would be, should the Colts be all in on the Super Bowl, and are the Seattle Super Seahawks the favorite in the NFC? I don't think you or I had that in our possible topics for week 10 of the NFL. But here we are, Maggie, and I actually love it. This is great, especially Seattle, because it's been a long time. Actually, the Colts, too. These are teams that 15 years ago were totally elite, and I think it's great for the NFL to see possibly them go on runs.
Yeah, the question is, who do you take more seriously as a Super Bowl contender? Is it Indy? Is it Seattle? Maybe it's both. Here's Brad in Oregon. Brad, good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. First of all, I just Sauce Gardner getting out of New York and away from this Woody Woodpecker team, and just got to be early Christmas for him, going from the outhouse to the penthouse. Whether the Colts never win another game the rest of the season or not, he's just got to feel relieved. And for Woody to turn around and say, oh, no, we haven't given up on the season.
Brad, we lost you there, pal. I'm sorry. You might have been going through a tough area. You're right about Sauce. So not only does Sauce go from the 1-7 team to a 7-2 team, his best friend is Alec Pierce. They were college teammates at Cincinnati. So I guess he's got there's a personal connection now,
right,
too.
I got the sense that Alec Pierce said that he was so good in practice, like he convinced the coaching staff to go that way.
It's like, take whatever picks you have.
Yeah, I think
throw
he did.
Them at the Jets.
I think he did.
John's in Vancouver. John, are the Seattle Seahawks a true Super Bowl contender? Yes or no?
I think they are, Maggie. Like I know you were, you know, talking about Sam Darnold turning into a pumpkin like last year, but yeah. I think one big difference is Seattle had a running game, or has a better running game than Minnesota did, so that's something that could help them. And as far as the bookies in Vegas, you know, having the so-called elite five in the NFC, to me, Seattle should be leapfrogging Green Bay. In fact, I'd have Green Bay in that tier, second tier that that Andrew said with Tampa Bay. Like, I think it's Los Angeles, Philly, Detroit, and Seattle. Green Bay has, to me, fallen quite a bit off the cliff. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, John, it's a fair point. I mean, obviously, the last time we saw Green Bay, they were losing at home to the Carolina Panthers, and Tucker Kraft is getting carted off the field.
He's in a better place.
He's in a better place now, according to his teammate, Romeo Doubs. Like, he's not dead. People come back from ACL tears all the time, but they also did not do anything at the trade deadline. I was a little surprised. I know it would have been tough maybe for Green Bay to get organized at that point and get in the tight end market, but you did have an opportunity right in front of you, and they sat on their hands.
Well, there was a rumor they would go after Michael Mayer, who's the extra tight end in Las Vegas. I think I'm on an island right now with Green Bay, because I think that defense is going to be a factor later in the season. Listen, Micah Parsons is still great. I know he didn't do anything against Carolina, but Carolina wisely did not throw the ball. It turns out they have the best running back in the league, Enrico Dowdle. That loss, I understand. I think this is on the floor. I think he's got to, believe it or not, even with Jordan Love being inconsistent, open up that offense a little bit, because you saw when the game was close at the end, they said, Jordan Love, you know what, you got to throw the ball, and it worked. So I don't quite understand, Tucker Kraft or no Tucker Kraft, I do think there are the bones of a really good team here. Because we've seen this, even last year. Remember, the year started out, they lose to the Eagles of Brazil, Jordan Love gets hurt, and they look like they're out of the picture. Then they turned it around late in the season, and even in the playoffs, they were really tough against the Eagles. That defense can step up. I mean, come on, they have so many players. Look at all those guys on defense. You're telling me that that team doesn't scare you at all? With Quay Walker, Micah Parsons, Lucas Van Ness, like they have Rashawn Gary. They have good back end players. They should be good.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Should Green Bay be considered a Super Bowl contender is now a conversation we're having. Let's get to Pete McCarthy, who's got headlines for us this morning. What's up, Pete?
All right, well, this report sponsored by Progressive Insurance. The annual Progressive Keys to Progress program provides vehicles to deserving veterans, helping our heroes drive their lives forward. Learn more at keystoprogress.com. You mentioned Rico Dowdle quickly there. To me, that was the funniest thing that happened this past weekend. It's two-pump celebration. Thought he got three because of a Key and Peele sketch. Well, Dowdle has now been fined nearly $15,000 for that celebration as well. I mean, personally, I think Keegan-Michael Key should be paying that.
Yeah,
but,
cover the fine. That's the only the right thing to do.
Well, yeah, I mean, he had that big buyout from Penn State, right?
Yeah, he did.
Because he's a doppelganger. Right. He looks exactly like James Franklin. You guys ever see the video where he comes out and lectures the team?
Well, he went to Penn State.
And he went to Penn State.
Yeah. He posted a video of him like saying, "Hey, Rico, like you got robbed, man. Like it's supposed to be two pumps. I'm sorry, man. Now I got to go write a new sketch or something along those lines."
Yeah, well, maybe Keegan-Michael Key could have beaten Penn State. I mean, Ohio State.
I would say 75% of my algorithm is Key and Peele sketches coming into Instagram.
It's a great algorithm.
It's unbelievable, because I thought I saw them all, and then there's one I'm like, oh, I haven't seen this one, and it's beyond brilliant. It's underrated, believe it or not.
Oh, it's so good, and it's amazing to me that it's just the two guys, and how many characters they got out of two dudes. Yeah.
Well, that's a funny thing, because Jordan Peele has now become a famous director. Mm-hmm. He's such a good actor too. Like I'm almost ashamed. But the two of them, I think, have gone in different directions. I want them to get back together. What if they did another year?
It'd be too much pressure.
Yeah, the bar is high. Yeah. The bar is high.
The sketches, too, they hold up. Yeah. I mean, they're all like 10 years old, aren't they?
Yeah.
And we have an NFL player who probably grew up with this sketch. And it's still hilarious. He's doing it in an NFL game.
Honestly, Le Carpetron Duke Marriott will forever be in my lexicon.
Have you guys heard the story of how they came up with that sketch? Keegan-Michael Key told on Dan Patrick's show that he came in, and Jordan's not a football fan. He came in and said, I was watching the Jets game, and there's a man named DeBrickashaw.
Yeah.
And Keegan-Michael Key says, oh, my darling, you have no idea. And then showed him all the names, and that's where they got it from.
Yeah, that was the dolphin sound. As a name for the player intros that they'd spoof.
And then at the end, Dan Smith, BYU.
Yeah, Dan Smith.
But they are amazing. How do we... Oh, the two pumps. By the way, Rico Dowdle, why are they fining him for that? That was not finable. I don't want to make that a big deal. But
because it was two pumps.
It was such an overreaction by the NFL.
Big overreaction. So Dowdle joked on social media that he's going to start a GoFundMe for the fine. And then he actually did create a GoFundMe to raise money for Children's Home Society of North Carolina. It has raised over $12,000, with Dowdle contributing $1,000 of his own. The goal is $20,000, so feel free to be charitable there.
I got an email from a PR company promoting the GoFundMe of Rico Dowdle, and I emailed back and said, well, can Rico Dowdle come on the show? I have not heard back yet.
Well, right now he's dealing with a quad injury, unfortunately, and so I don't know if he's even questionable for the game this
week. How much was the fine?
$15,000.
Oh, okay.
Why? You want to cover it?
You can't be making that much, right?
No, I don't want to cover it.
Significant for him.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like, it's significant for him, and I thought maybe it'd be a little bit more, and I was like, well, $12,000 doesn't really seem, you know, doesn't really equate to the fine, but if it was just a $15,000 fine, then it's all good.
Is Rico Dowdle the breakout star this NFL season? Yeah. Like, not only is he third in rushing yardage behind only Jonathan Taylor and James Cook, but he had the great quote after he took it to his old team, the Cowboys, wherever he had told them to buckle up. And then after the game, he ran for over 200 yards against them and just deadpans. They wasn't buckled up. Like, this guy's been phenomenal. Yeah. Now he's doing Key and Peele sketches out there, running for touchdowns on the Packers.
He could get up to 1,500 yards. I mean, he's on pace the way, because he didn't really have all the carries early in the season. It's insane. If he played all season, he might have been in the 2,000-yard conversation easily.
Now they host the New Orleans Saints, this weekend, where they're 5.5-point favorites, and he was held out of practice yesterday. So we'll keep an eye on that. What else you got, Pete?
Yeah, he's got a quad issue. Well, the Jets are sad and irrelevant, so I don't want to bring everybody down here. But I do think that this might be the soundbite of the year. Now, I'm a little biased. I'm a Jets guy. But when head coach Aaron Glenn was hired in the winter, he stated that his goal was to make the Jets a team that fans could be proud of. Well, after starting 1-7, trading Quinnen Williams and Sauce Gardner, Glenn was asked about that goal.
I want this to be a team that the fans are proud of. But again, I never said that we're going to be proud of them right now.
Unreal.
I mean, like, how high a bar are we talking about being proud of your team? We're talking about, like, oh, they play hard, they have heart, right? I mean, what else makes a fan proud of their team? That's kind of what you're talking about. We're not talking about making the playoffs. You're saying, I just want the fans to be proud of our team. And now we can't even hit that low bar.
Honestly, what is he, under oath? Like, what do you do? I never said when exactly, Your Honor. I did just said whether you'd be proud eventually of us. Like, what? That is the
one day
silliest response I've ever heard.
Everybody knows, you know, you got a 3-year grace period to make your team proud, man.
Yeah, wow. Build that culture, Aaron Glenn. I didn't say we'd be proud right now. Now we're a bunch of scumbags, but soon we're going to be really awesome. You're going to be super proud of it. If you're in a locker room right now, Prof, I know it couldn't get worse for the Jets. I'm sure morale has got to be at an all-time low, but still, you hear your coach say that, like, you're not even proud? We can't even hold our heads up in front of our home crowd or anything like that?
I mean, come on. They know. they watch the games, Maggie. They're not.
They're in the games.
Yeah, they're in the games, but more watch games because they're not really in the games.
Fair.
They're at the stadium. No, they know. I have no idea. Like, I love that they just put out the tank flag. It's
Wait,
perfect.
EJ, are the Jets, or Pete, you guys can both answer this, you're Jets guys, are you winning a game the rest of the season?
Yeah, I think they're going to beat the Dolphins.
Okay.
The Jets will win like 5 games. This is what they do.
If they want,
they won't have the number one pick.
To me,
it is a year where you don't need to tank. Let's be honest; like, it's a crapshoot at the top of this draft. So
yes,
they've got Cleveland, Miami. You've got at New Orleans. I mean, in theory, some
winnable. Theories there are wins on the schedule. I don't think there are a lot, but something tells me. I mean, beating a team twice, even a bad team like the Dolphins, like, it's not easy. I get the feeling the Dolphins are going to find a way to lose when they come to MetLife. That might be their only other win.
Yeah, that's true.
If the Jets get the number one pick, they're going to earn it.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a fact.
Honestly, I think that's a lot of pressure on the Jets to have that number one pick for a subpar number one pick. Like, I'd almost rather be two or three if I'm the Jets. You know what I mean, EJ? Like, I know, like, number one is going to be a lot of pressure. Then they're going to bring, like, Fernando Mendoza to New York as a number one overall pick. That sounds like a recipe for not good.
Well, to me, like, to Zach honest, Wilson. If they get the number one pick, I would be inclined to put that up for sale. And say, hey, listen, like, we're not all in on any of these quarterbacks because now they already got all these other picks. They can add even more to the treasure trove.
What do you do then?
Well, that was a topic we had yesterday.
Who's your quarterback next year?
Well, that was the topic yesterday. Under contract, Go Fields.
So, yeah, I mean, he's under contract. I mean, as painful as that would be, and I agree with Pete. It's painful.
You're going to run back Aaron Glenn and Justin Fields? I
mean, Pete, that was like
did we watch the game in London?
That was the sound of a man who walked in and just saw that his dog had diarrhea all over the carpet. Like, oh.
Sounded like me.
You're not excited about Justin Fields 2.0? Come on, baby.
Let me make Pete even more upset. I saw a Photoshop the other day of Kyler Murray in the Jets uniform, and I almost threw up.
Fine.
Oh,
fine.
Can I tell you on Kyler Murray.
This crap is crap.
Can I tell you that this is delusional, just for the rest of the country, if you are not a fan of like how New York fans exist, right? And sometimes New York fans, we will raise our hands about, you know, it can be a little obnoxious. We can think the whole world kind of centers around us, and, you know, who wouldn't want to be in New York? And obviously that.
It's
yesterday,
the New York Yankees, damn it.
This was either a caller into WFAN or something said, take all those picks and trade them for Joe Burrow.
Yeah,
like,
I saw that.
Cincinnati is just going to hand over Joe Burrow. Like,
but because Joe
Flacco
is now the guy in Cincinnati.
Yeah, right.
You know, next year, but obviously, it's obviously tank year next year. I mean, imagine Jeremiah Smith in a Jets uniform. Keyshawn Johnson 2.0. That'd be amazing. You could get excited. I agree. Do not draft these quarterbacks. Do a full tank next year. But that's a long time to wait fans to ask.
It's all right. 2 years. It's been 15 years since they made the playoffs.
Yeah, but seriously, can they wait 2 years? To EJ's point, I mean, this actually, I know we're joking about the Jets, but how do they team build? Do they try to win games next year?
Because I'm a loser.
I think the smart thing is to really do like a Sixers, I'm wearing a Sixers hat, a Sixers kind of process. I just don't know if any fan base can handle that.
They've been handling it. Look at Pete. Look at EJ. I mean, can it get any worse? Like, they've been around this block so many times. Got anything else for us, Pete?
Well, I eat salads. So I could see the Jets next winning season. I have to try to live that long. That's how I
get some cardio in.
It's not great. Well, we had a big milestone in the NHL last night. Alexander Ovechkin becoming the first to reach 900 career goals.
I think a couple of days ago somebody asked me about, do you think about it? Of course, it's huge number. No one ever did it in NHL history, and be first player ever do it. It's a special moment.
That's pretty cool. They still... so effective. How old is Ovechkin
40.
Now?
I'm trying He's 40. To I just
40 years old. I mean, yeah. I guess Jaromir Jagr played until he was like 55.
Yeah.
But what Ovechkin short continues to do.
Are people calling him the Joe Flacco of the NHL, or is it just me?
I think you got that covered, buddy.
I'm going to bring up Joe Flacco every segment right now because as an old guy, I really am feeling this guy. And Ovechkin's the new, and LeBron, Ovechkin, and Joe Flacco are rewriting how 40-year-olds play.
Well, Aaron Rodgers. Are the Rodgers in there?
He's been kind of conservative under Tomlin. I need a 470-yard performance by Joe Flacco.
Well, if only
it's fun to age into this conversation, isn't it? When you hit like 40 years old and you're like, oh, there are like three athletes left that are older than me.
Maggie,
oh my gosh, Justin Verlander, let's go.
Maggie wants to create a new wing of the Hall of Fame just to get Joe Flacco somewhere, but she doesn't know where he fits.
There's a lane that Joe Flacco's in. It's not Canton, but it's not Columbus either. I don't know. There's something in there.
Well, I mean, there's always going to be one question that plagues Joe Flacco.
Yeah.
Is he elite?
Still asking.
Yeah. My favorite sports media moment ever is when PFT commenter, or part of my take, was at the Democratic National Convention in the fourth row. He holds up a sign and says, is Joe Flacco elite? Amongst all the other things.
It
was like, everyone's like, Obama, Obama, Obama. And then you see Flacco elite question mark.
Yeah. A high point for American politics for sure. A little bit. We know where it would go from there.
I just looked up, by the way, Tom Brady has most quarterbacks most wins for quarterbacks over 40. Who do you think is second?
No one. Joe Flacco. Over 40. Warren Mood?
Vinny Testaverde?
Vinny Testaverde is three.
Is it Rodgers?
Hey, we've talked about this guy on the show in the last 2 months.
Andy Dalton? Is he 40?
No, no, he's 35.
Earl Morrell.
Oh,
Earl
my Morrell. God.
Morrell. Sorry.
Earl Morrell. Yeah. That actually, Maggie Perloff, King of the Mountain, will come your way at the top of the hour. Earl Morrell actually not in this version. Today will be the 85 Bears, who are the current King of the Mountain Pros. Mm. We're trying to find the greatest NFL team of all time. And they will take on the 1994 San Francisco 49ers. That's your Steve Young finally getting over the top as a starter in San Fran.
He had like 100 touchdowns in that Super Bowl, as I recall.
Yeah, that was it was an 18.5 point spread. But anyway, we'll get to we get to Stan Humphries and all that. But yeah, the 94 San Francisco 49ers up against the 85 Bears today for Maggie Perloff, King of the Mountain. I was just thinking about something. So Pete brought up, and we're talking about older, over 40 athletes. But something that will always make you feel old is the kids of athletes that you watched.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
I had a tough one the other day.
Who'd you have?
Well, Dre Kirkpatrick Jr. got in trouble.
The Bengals defensive back?
His kid.
Yeah. That's
That sink in. He wasn't playing that long ago.
Guys familiar with the work of Carmelo Anthony?
Well, yeah, but like we've been, Kyan Anthony has been like a highly rated recruit. Well, I guess probably Kirkpatrick Jr. was too. But
I had the opposite last night. I was watching the T-Wolves Knicks and Mike Conley drained a three. I'm like, wow, Mike Conley's kid's already in the NBA. Turned out it was Mike Conley.
The OG.
And I actually thought to myself, isn't that funny? He had a left-handed son just like he is. It's the real Mike Conley. So he's, by the way, he's 38. So he's not quite 40. 40 in the NBA is hard. The NFL quarterback, I think with the new rules, you're going to see a lot of guys chasing Earl Morrell.
888-710-4ISN. Speaking of Jets fans, did you know that there is a theory out there completely unproven, and I'm not trying to denigrate the legend and legacy of Earl Morrell, which is a really hard name for me to say.
Yeah, I just screwed it up.
Ruined it for everybody.
Did you guys know that there... Do you know what else the other famous game that Earl Morrell was in? Not just the 72 Dolphins when Brian Greasy was hurt.
Yeah.
But he was the Colts quarterback.
Yeah.
When Joe Namath
and
the Jets won, famously, the only time the Jets have ever won. Do you know there is a theory that came out last week because of all the gambling stuff that somehow the Colts threw that game?
Ooh, I like it.
I didn't know that theory was out there. Now, again, unsubstantiated, not trying to denigrate anyone's legacy or people who are not around to defend themselves.
You hear that, Broadway Joe?
I mean, one of the reasons...
It's the only way the Jets can win.
We know what you're doing here.
So one of the only reasons we have the NFL.
Doesn't mean ours is illegitimate, Maggie.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the impact of that, it's probably the most important game in NFL history because then the AFL and NFL merged. Yes. And, you know, without that, if they hadn't thrown the game, as Maggie's now claiming.
I thought I had heard every sports conspiracy theory possible. I really do. I mean, the Michael Jordan stuff, the frozen envelope with Patrick Ewing, you know.
Where's Pablo Torre?
Maybe Pablo's got to go back to 1969.
Is there anything other than the fact that they were heavy favorites and lost? Is there any kind of like
there was a guy who was in trouble? Earl Morrell connection, like that somehow someone got to Earl Morrell.
He's the one who threw it.
Maybe.
They checked his DraftKings account and saw improprieties.
Yeah, 1960s online betting.
That's why Joe Namath guaranteed it. He knew.
Yeah.
He's up on it. Had the good info.
I'm
looking up this, trying to look up this box score to see what his stats were like in this game.
Again, allegedly. I get fooled by the internet all the time.
Yeah, you do.
It's bad.
You're like an 80.
Oh, my God. He was 6-for-17 in this game.
Oh. Yeah, Johnny Unitas came in and relieved him.
3 picks.
Yeah, he was throwing.
Well, back then, though,
he was throwing like some really bad picks.
Back then, the Pro Bowl quarterback would have like 10 touchdowns and 36 picks. Like, that is not bad. Yes. What do you think, Joe Namath? Look at Joe Namath's stats.
No, but Joe Namath was okay. You'll ever see. I mean, he was 17-for-28, 200 yards. He didn't throw a pick. I mean, even Johnny Unitas, who came in relief, was a little better.
He threw the ball 28 times and got to 200 yards?
Yes. This is 1969, 1968.
It's a short pass.
What do you want?
Threw bombs to Don Maynard all day.
There you go.
888.
Playing it 70 yards downfield, man.
And it wasn't that kind of game, man. 888-710-4ISN. Pete, thank you so much. We'll hear from you again next hour. Again, Maggie Perloff, King of the Mountain, coming to you at the top of the hour, looking for the greatest NFL team of all time. 85 Bears today against the 94 San Francisco 49ers. And coming up, a baseball question for you.
Ooh.
MVP.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Jamar is Jamar, Jamar is Lamar, University of Middle Tennessee.
DeVoyne Shower Handle, University of Southern Mississippi.
Hingle McKringleberry, Penn State University.
Le Carpetron Duke Marriott, Florida Atlantic University. TJAJRJ / 4th, the 5th, Albion College.
San Diego State University.
Dan Smith, BYU.
Oh, man.
I love the colleges they picked here are so perfect. Florida Atlantic. Like the most random schools, that's what introductions always are. It's like University of Alabama. Then it's always like South Florida or something you don't expect.
Or someone will say like School of Hard Knocks, or they'll say their high school.
I love the high school.
But that was the Key and Peele sketch. Yeah, Hingle McKringleberry, I think, is probably the most famous, but I do love Le Carpetron, yeah. Duke Marriott. So anyway, that all got started because Rico Dowdle got fined, even though he only did two pumps in the celebration. And everyone knows from the Key and Peele sketch, you don't get fined until you go three pumps for the excessive celebration. But he started GoFundMe. He's trying to help kids turn it into a positive.
Le Carpetron Duke Marriott.
So good. All right, this is an interesting story. We'll get back to the NFL in just a moment because we got some questions for you and a big baseball question I want to get to. But want to pause on this for a moment. So obviously we had a major gambling scandal that broke, what was that, 2 weeks ago now, Pearl? We were on the air when the FBI is doing a press conference about Chauncey Billups and Terry Rozier and Damon Jones, that whole NBA scandal along with the poker games and all the ties to the mob. So we got maybe fresh eyes on sports betting, just how vulnerable, you know, teams, games, the integrity of the sport, making sure that things are on the level, how vulnerable that can be. Now, ESPN has their own sports book.
ESPN Bet.
Yes, ESPN Bet. They actually partnered with a company called Penn Gambling. What's it called? Penn, they were with Barstool.
Penn Live?
It was just called Penn Entertainment. Okay. They were with Barstool until they divested from Barstool, and then they got in with ESPN. They signed this gigantic deal. EJ, what was it? 10 years?
10 years, $2 billion.
$2 billion with a B, okay? But since they signed that deal, something else happened with ESPN, which is the NFL bought a 10% stake in the worldwide leader. So I know Craig Carton had brought this up. He was a former colleague of ours here and obviously has had a history as a gambler. And he, you know, talks very openly about that, about how this is such a conflict of interest, Pearl, sure, for ESPN to be at both in bed with a sports book and also with a sports league.
I mean, I don't want to read too much into it without more. I think the NFL easily could have pressured it. ESPN Bet, because one thing, what is the most dangerous thing to a sport is when people think that something they're seeing is not authentic.
Yeah, so anyway, so I should say what the news is today is that ESPN, I don't know if I laid it out, ESPN is no longer going to have ESPN Bet. They are getting out of the gambling business, and I don't know if they were going to have to do this anyway because gambling is very regulated in this country, but obviously the attention that was brought on it and some raised eyebrows and the scandal and all of this maybe forced their hand.
I don't think it forced their hand. I think Roger Goodell forced their hand. I mean, the NFL, now that they're really partnering with ESPN and they can't have this. ESPN, well, I mean, they've given up on journalism a long time ago, right? So they're more of a take company on that side. It's $13.7 billion industry. I think there's only company that could pressure them into dropping this had to be the NFL. Why else would they do it?
Maybe regulation? Like, was this the government who may have been like, listen, this is not okay?
Our government? The American government?
It's currently shut down right now. I realize that.
No. I think it has to be the league. I don't think the NFL wants NBA-like headlines. Mm. I mean, NBA, like currently NBA.
But is that going to really, if somebody wants to manipulate their prop bets, or if, you know, the NFL's already had some of these.
No, they're just going to worry that there's going to be some bad calls against Patrick Mahomes in the AFC title game in Buffalo. And people are going to see like, well, you know, NFL is invested in a gambling company. What's going on?
Right.
You know,
they people make are going to connect the dots of this, right? Like, say if this, if you, you know, fade a favorite or someone throws a game,
A bad call. You know, nowadays, like, you have to beware. If anything that happens that looks unusual, immediately think about all the money that's been bet on it. It's a massive, massive issue for pro sports.
Yeah.
And college sports, too.
Have you guys seen the UFC headlines that are coming out? Obviously, this has been a huge one.
Yeah, you were talking. Can you explain it a little?
Yeah, so Dana White came out on Tuesday and confirmed that the FBI is looking into... I'm not the biggest UFC person. Is his name Isaac Dolgarian? He had a controversial loss this past Saturday, UFC Vegas 110, where all of a sudden the line moved really drastically right before the fight, and then he lost. And it, according to like people who do this for a living, so I'm going to defer to them, he was like walking into punches and stuff. I think at one point he like walked into a rear naked choke. I'm not going to pretend that I know all of this stuff about combat sports.
That's a brutal sport to have to throw.
Oh my God. Yeah, boxing, like I'd rather, UFC.
I'd rather.
Come here, bro. Let me just choke you out real quick.
I'd rather airball a couple free throws instead of walking to a punch.
It's a lot safer. But meanwhile, then after this happened, and so Dana White came out on Tuesday and said, the FBI alerted them immediately. The sports books alert the FBI. The FBI alerts Dana. He said it does not look good for Isaac Dolgarian. So he might be going away for a while or something.
If I'm the UFC, if I'm Dana White, like embrace it, like say, you know, don't. The worst thing I think you could do as a commissioner, and even in this situation, don't get everything out in the open. Do not try and put it under the rug.
No, he's saying, well, it's not my problem. Like, I didn't do anything. Yeah. And we caught it, and they'll say this is, you know, this is actually the system working, but just quickly. Right. What came out of that is other former fighters came out and said, yeah, I've been offered to throw fights all the time.
Yep. It's kind of like the NBA scandal. The legal sports books caught all the action immediately. So, you know, if this was all illegal and under the table, then that's even worse. So it's not really, to me, this is not a huge blow to the gambling industry. It's just ESPN's out.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. All right, coming up, Maggie Perloff, King of the Mountain. Who will move on as we look for the greatest NFL team of all time? 85 Bears versus the 94 49ers. We'll break it all down next. Hingle McCringleberry.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.